With St. Patrick's Day just a few days away, what is God up to in Ireland and the UK? In just a few moments, our friend, singer-songwriter Aaron V. Graham is going to be joining us and going to share with us what God is doing in the land of the Irish. Aaron, it is so good to have you on with us. You've been a part of the Lithos Cry family for many years now. And the last time that we had you on was in 2020. It was 4 years ago. Hard to believe that much time has gone by.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? There's a lot has happened since then as well. So it's been a crazy time. So it has. But God is really moving. And if you want, I can share it with you from when we're last here.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot has changed for you. God has led you in some new directions with your music and your ministry. What's changed since 2020?
So, first of all, moved church. So that's one thing that's changed. But also, during 2020, we all went through that crazy time. And I began writing some songs and released two songs in 2021. One was called Wake Up, which was a wake-up call to Christians everywhere, basically, about what was going on around us, to have our eyes open spiritually to see with the things of God. And also another song was called Don't Buy Dime, because we saw this whole taking the knee thing going on, and I just thought there was a lot of idol worship going on, and it really disturbed my spirit. So during that time, I wrote those two songs, and I worked with my friend Felipe in Brazil again, and we released them in 2021. Then in 2023, we'll go back first, because I started working with the Extreme Tour. The Extreme Tour came to visit me in January of 2020. And for 3 days, paid me a visit for 3 days. And they originally contacted me in 2018, and they wanted me to work with them. And they had this vision for Ireland. And so he came over for 3 days, and the crazy time happened. And I put it in the back burner because we were planning to do something in 2020, but it didn't come around. But during 2020, I was out on the streets ministering to people, singing and seeing so many different people really hurting, drug addictions, people meeting so many people in pain spiritually. And you know, I just thought, as a Christian, I need to be there for them. And it was during 2020. And as regards to the Extreme Tour, I put everything in the back burner, and I thought, never going to hear from them again. And 2021, I got a message from Nashville from the leader of Extreme Tour, Mr. Ted Brune. And he was on the phone with me for over an hour. And he says, I've got a real vision to come to Ireland, and I want you to be a part of it. We believe that you're the key for opening up the doors here in Ireland. And I says, well, why do you believe that? And he says, well, there's a fellow called Grant Noteworthy, who was in the Paul Coleman Trio, who now lives in New Zealand. And he told me that I need to get in touch with you about Ireland. He says, he's your man that you need to speak to. Now, Glenn, I haven't really spoken to Grant Noteworthy a lot, maybe just a bit through Messenger and things like that. And so that was 2021. And we had arranged that maybe he was going to come and pay me a visit. That didn't happen. So again, I put that in the back burner, and a whole year passed by, and I began recording my latest album, which was called Trust in Him, which was released last year in 2023. And again, I got another phone call from Ted again. He says, your name's come up here in Nashville. We're over in Nashville at the minute. Your name's come up in a meeting, and I needed to get in touch with you. We want to get involved in Ireland. So he came and he paid me a visit in September of 2022. And we discussed where we were going to go, we were going to do with the Extreme Tour. Then I myself got in touch with the guy who was coordinating things from Nashville, and John Gould, you call him. He's part of the team. And he mentioned about coming to Ireland. And we put three dates together. And let me tell you, it was hard work because it was all on my back, because I was visiting pastors and visiting churches, and some were saying no. One person did say yes, was interested, and my own church as well. But the thing is, I had two basically confirmed, but yet I hadn't confirmed my own. And John Gould had a vision, a dream of this bar, this public house pub bar, and we were playing outside it. But he seen bloodshed, and he'd seen that it was a dangerous place to be. And God opened the door for us to play at the bar in the Extreme Tour in 2023, last year in October. The thing is, that bar that we played in has a history in the Troubles of Northern Ireland, with terrorists, bombing, shootings took place in that very bar. So
wow.
The vision that John received was the vision that we carried through, and we went through, and one person got saved. And so that was worth every point of, you know, every moment for me. So God really opened the door there for the Extreme Tour, and we're planning for 2024 now already. I have weekly meetings with John Gould and the team. We have a whole UK team that works together, and we've got people coming in also from Ireland working with me. So I'm seeking God, where do we go next? Because one thing that John said to me, and you had Jerry on the show a few weeks ago, one thing that he said to me was that you were able to pull a tour together, which normally takes 5 years, in a matter of months. And I said, well, it wasn't me, it must have been God. Because he said, because in the history of the Extreme Tour, this doesn't happen. So now we're believing for this year to be bigger and better.
Wow.
So a lot has happened. Also, in October, I went to the UK Christian Music Awards because one of my songs was nominated for Top Christian Rock Song in the UK. And that was a real shock to me. I found out in August that it was happening, and I kept it on the quiet about that. And but again, this was just something that God was doing in my life. And where I am now is just, it's been an amazing ride. And I mean, I can talk to you about the song in a moment or two about how that's come about, because that is amazing in itself.
Wow. Wow. What a lot of things that have happened and changed since we last spoke in 2020. And the conversation we had in 2020 was amazing. And I'm going to put the link to that down in the description. So if you want to go back, those that are watching and listening, want to go back and listen to the interview that I did with Aaron in 2020, the link is down in the description section of this video. And what you did by going to that bar, that is the definition of extreme. You went into a very dark place to take the gospel. And it all started with you back in 2020, when you started to see the people that needed to hear the gospel. There's just so much going in my mind and heart right now that I'm processing. You came out with that song for the church, to awaken the church, and you were awakened as well through that song. And really, that's what I've been seeing and sensing, is that the church is still in the middle of that wake-up call and needs that wake-up call to go outside beyond the walls of the church to reach those that are hurting and those that are lost, because Jesus wants to save them. And that's what the Extreme Tour is about. And it's just so funny, because you had the Extreme Tour, you brought them in and they showed up and God just made it happen. And we had the same thing. I had the same thing happen with Jerry here in South Carolina. And it was in 2020 when he came through. We were planning on not doing anything, and I just didn't know how to make it happen. And for some, well, we were working on another project and we had some funds that were available to support them coming in through meals. And we had a place for them to play and to do outreach to the community. And we pulled that off and it wasn't us, it was God. And it just goes to show God's hand on the Extreme Tour and those of you that are involved with it. And the reason why God has his hand on it is because it's not about you getting up on stage and singing songs and trying to make it. It's about you reaching out to the lost. But here's the blessing of it. And this is what I want people to catch, is because you've humbled yourself and you're doing the work of Jesus by sharing the gospel and going to those that are hurting. He exalted you with that award nomination.
But, you know, that was amazing in itself, but so many things more than that has actually happened that is even better than an award. And the thing is, when, you know, this is something I've learned. When you give over to God your desires, your heart's desires, he turns it around for his good. I have understood recently in the past number of years about the whole so-called Christian music business. And to be very honest with you, Glenn, I don't like it. But I see the real Christian music business in the likes of the Extreme Tour, where people are there for the right reasons, to win people for Christ, and not to be ashamed of the gospel and to stand outside a bar and play. And I mean, the message of the gospel went out in that bar. It was very, very clear. There was nothing hidden. And, you know, that for me as a Christian, even as a Christian musician, singer, songwriter, is to reach people. And that should be our key. It shouldn't be putting ourselves on a platform. So, yeah, because it's not about us, as my son said. It's all about him. And I'll share this with you. Recently, in January of 2024, which was just a few months ago, I really felt compelled to take my music off Spotify. I had 120,000 streams, and I just took the whole lot off. And I can say this to you, Glenn, it has been a relief. And I just know that God is in it. Because since doing that, I've seen more subscribers come to the YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I have seen the Facebook followers in the last 3-4 weeks. Hundreds now starting to follow me on Facebook. And yet I'm doing nothing different. And I changed the name of all the platforms I'm on, Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, to True Worship and True Worship Living. Yes. And I wanted to take my name off all of that because my heart is to worship God, and it's a lifestyle that we should all live. It's not something that we do on a Sunday or during the week or getting together with music. Music's just a small part of what worship is. Mm-hmm. And I've seen God bless me because I've taken that stand.
Yes. I want to talk about that a little bit because I noticed that you changed everything to True Worship Living, and you did something very similar that our friend Jerry that we just spoke to a few weeks ago did, because when I was with him back 4 years ago, he was just Jerry Fee, and now he has the project. God was pressing on him just to get the name off of it to Heliograph. But the whole basis of True Worship Living is Romans 12 verses 1-2. And I want to dive into this a little bit because this challenged me a little bit as I was reading this. Actually, I'll be honest, it challenged me a lot. And this is Romans 12, 1-2, where it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Now, when I read this, this goes way beyond just singing a couple songs on Sunday before the word is broken. This means giving your body to God for him to use it. And that sounds a little uncomfortable. Can you kind of expound upon this? What is Paul saying here? What does this mean to give our bodies as a living sacrifice to God?
Well, for me, it means giving ourselves, our whole self, over to God. At the end of the day, it tells us to obey is better than sacrifice. We are to be obedient to what God has called us to do. And I'm always brought back to that verse of scripture in the Old Testament where God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Higher are my ways than your ways, and higher are my thoughts than your thoughts. And I've come to realize that in this Christian life, God knows what's best for us. And that's why he wants all of us. You see, God desires to spend time with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And so many times we are caught up in our own thoughts and our own way of doing things instead of listening to God and spending time with God. And if we can get into not that habit, but into that attitude of spending more time with God, then we get to know God's heart. We get to know what it means to serve him. And we start to understand things a little clearer when we listen to his voice and we read his word. And this has been something that has challenged me, because I felt led to bring short talks on my YouTube, my Facebook, and Twitter. I was doing it on a daily basis, but it's 2 to 3 times a week at the minute. But we want to encourage people that we really need to start living for God, especially in this day and age. This world is messed up big time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much. I love John Cooper's book, by the way. He wrote a book about the woke church and the woke world and stuff. The very first one I got his book, and I thought it was fantastic. I watched his podcasts. I was really blessed by John Cooper from Skillet. But, you know, giving ourselves over to God is the most important thing. We are nothing without God, and we need him in our lives. And that's why I really believe in this day and age that Christians need to understand who they are in Christ, and they need to develop this relationship with God, the Father, and spend time with him. And they understand that, yes, there's a spiritual battle going on, and that God has already given us the victory. But the thing is, the battle that we face is our flesh. And that's the hardest part, because we can give in to temptation. We can give in to, because let's face it, the world is attractive. There's a lot of things that can attract you out there that, you know, it's open to you. It's very easy to submit to those things and let sin be in your master. But we have to let the Holy Spirit be the one who controls us and empowers us on a daily basis. So for that's me, and that's a bit of a long explanation of what God's saying there, what Christ's saying there, but that's what it means to me.
For the person that's watching or listening, this is just so much wisdom that's being imparted to us from our friend Aaron. There is so much here that a lot of people may not comprehend, and I want to bring it back to what you just said, that God knows what's better for us than we do. There's so many things that are attractive out there. We think we have our ways and we know what we want, but there's the things that God has designed us for. And when we give ourselves as a living sacrifice to him, we're going back to what we were originally created for, and that was to be his image bearer. That's what Adam and Eve were created for, was to bear his image in the earth. And I know there's a lot of people that watch and listen to this podcast that are struggling through life right now. You don't know who you are. You don't know your place. You don't know what life is about. That's okay. Here's the solution to the problem. Is you're not walking in what God has created you to be. You're walking against that. You're going against what he has intended for you. And when we submit ourselves to God, and Aaron just laid it out very clearly how we do that, that's by, first of all, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. That is the first thing that needs to be to happen. But then you need to submit yourself to his word, to prayer, and instead of trying to go your own way and just doing somewhat of what God says, is being obedient to what he's telling you through his word and through prayer. And it may sound like, oh, that sounds like a horrible life. I just want to be myself. No, both Aaron and I, we've tried to do it our own way. It didn't work so well.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work, because when you're in alignment with him, something happens. you begin to experience the favor of God. And I really believe that Aaron is an example of that in the life that he's been living. I've known Aaron for several years now, and to see him that he in the place that he's in at now, where God is blessing him, and he didn't do what he's been doing for the blessings of God. He's been doing it because he loves Jesus.
Yeah, that's 100%, Glenn. You're right. I do it all for him. As I say, I've no interest in being on a platform. I've no interest of being signed a record label anymore or doing anything like that. That's immaterial, really. It's not going to store up my treasure in heaven. You know, this earth, it's going to rot away. And you know, the Bible says that, you know, these things will rust and decay, you know. So we store up our treasures in heaven. And for me, to do what God wants is the most important thing. And you know, I've been growing through this. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy to live the life for Christ. But you know what? It's a struggle, but it's a struggle that's worth fighting for every day, because I'm seeing God bless me in a way that I've never seen before.
Yes.
And that's, you know, who would have thought someone like me would be nominated for Top Christian Rock Song of the Year? That didn't even enter my mind. And that, I mean, that in itself was a shock to me. But, you know, God has a way of working within us. And I mean, that whole song, that whole album that I brought out last year called Trust in Him, the song Trust in Him, it was written during the pandemic period. And I felt Christians had lost hope. They'd lost. To be honest with you, it saddened me to see church buildings closed. It saddened me to see people more comfortable to watch church online and not wanting to interact with people. And God brought me back to the songs like More Than Conquerors, Who We Are in Christ, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, like that song, and Trust in Him. You know, and my prayer is that even that album has brought hope to people, and I know it's blessed so many. But again, that was stemmed out of that time. And where I am now is that God's doing something new even more now in my life since 2020. I don't know what's around the corner. But as I said, I wanted to take my name off everything that I do on my platforms, because people need to know what it is to live for Christ. Christians, we need to know what it is to live for Him and to serve Him and to give Him our lives totally. And I pray that that's what this YouTube channel is now doing, and these teachings that God's been giving me to share. And I really feel the impact upon it in my own life, because I'm growing as well. And let's face it, we all need encouragement, and we can find encouragement by encouraging one another. And the community that I'm building, it's small, but I'm connecting with people all over the world. And they're sending me messages how it's been blessing to them and how they're growing. And I mean, I'm not the best teacher in the world. I'm not the best preacher in the world. But I'm just giving what's on from my heart and what I'm reading from God's word and what I'm learning at the same time. So we're learning together.
And what it all boils down to, just the simplest thing, and I want to go back to what we said earlier, and it ties into a video that you're going to be releasing in just a few days for a song entitled In His Presence. It's all about being in the presence of Jesus. It's about spending that time with Him. That's how you get to learn about who He is, and that's how you get to learn about who you are and what He's created you to do, what He wants you to do. And in just 3 days, on St. Patrick's Day, I believe, on March 17th, you're going to be releasing a video for your song, In His Presence. I want to show a quick clip of that to whet people's appetites. And for those that are going to want to see the premiere of this video, the link to Aaron's channel is down in the description section. This is a quick preview of the video for Aaron's latest release, In His Presence.
In His Presence. praises of your majesty.
Heaven will be our home for all eternity, forever in the presence of our King.
Come and worship.
That is beautiful. So simple and beautiful. One of the things that you have the privilege of is living in Ireland, where you have all this beautiful scenery and you can do all these videos. You don't have to pay a lot for extra sets. I know a lot of people in the United States that would love to fly out to Ireland and spend a lot of money just to do a video there. And you're right there. Tell me about that choir, though. That is so cool.
Glenn, even how this song came about, Glenn is a God thing. In August, I think it was the 15th of August, I was going through an old song that I'd started to write in 2018. And I think it was just the first part of the song. And I thought, I need to sit down and finish this. This is the type of person I am. I'll sit down, I'll write a bit of a song and I'll shelve it for a while. I've got loads of songs like that, actually. And I sat down that day and God, was the words were just coming, the verses, the chorus. And I finished it. I put it up on Facebook, a really rough recording. And if you go to my Facebook page, it's True Worship NI. And, you know, we put it up there and a pastor in Uganda saw it. He didn't tell me that day, but he contacted me, I think it was towards the end of August. And he said, we're singing that song in our church, in our own language.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, what? I mean, it hasn't even been released. And at the end of August, I went into the studio with my producer here in Northern Ireland, and how that came about is a God thing as well. Because during the Extreme Tour, as I was planning for it for October, we meet here in October, I got into contact with a guy called Stuart Neal. Now, Stuart Neal has a history in the music business. He was a keyboardist for Kajagoogoo, who are a well-known pop group. Yeah, who are a well-known pop group here in the UK, who had a number one hit here in the UK, and now is a very good friend of mine, thanks to our contact through the Extreme Tour. Stuart heard the song, and he says to me, there's something special about that, and I want to record it. So we went, it was a bank holiday August here in Northern Ireland, and we went into the into his home studio. And I'm used to everybody else playing instruments for me. And Stuart says, right, you're going to play the guitar in this one. And I says, no, I don't do that. I'm not confident a guitar player. And he says, you can do it. So it was just a basic track with me on the guitar. I'd done three harmony vocals and we put it all together. And as I said, then the pastors contacted me. They're singing the song in Uganda. And I said to Stuart, my producer, how about getting this choir in Uganda on the track? And so I set up like a small GoFundMe to try and help fund their recording fees. We raised a little bit of money, not a lot, but enough for them to go into the studio and record the tracks. And in October, November, the track was put together with the choir on it. There's actually two versions of this song. There's one just with me, and then there's the other one with the choir. But it was even during that time that they asked me to come and to preach in their church online. Basically, it was a recording of me preaching, doing some worship for them. We did try to do a whole live feed on Zoom, but with the technology in Uganda, the quality, it just shut down on us. So, but apparently this pastor has been following my music for over 5 years. I didn't realize this, but he has caught this song and now he wants to take it all over Uganda. And I'll just add something that's happened as quick as on Saturday of last week. He said to me, how would you like to sing this song in our language with us in a recording with the choir? Oh. So he has sent me the words, which are gobbledygook to me, but he sent me a bit of an audio of what way to sing it. I'm amazed at this. I mean, this is God who's done this. This is not something that I have whipped up. And this is the thing that what I was going back about the whole music award. This to me is more special because God is using this song already, and this video hasn't been released. But we recorded the video on Valentine's Day this year. Okay. Myself went out on location. We shot for 12 hours. It was a long, drawn out day. People don't realize how long it takes to make a music video.
No, they don't.
It's a lot of work. There's a bit of driving between different places, different location shots. And if you look very closely at the video, you see rain coming down because we're well used to it here in Northern Ireland. The rain just loves to come. But, you know, whilst I was recording that, there's a scene in the video, and you'll see this on St. Patrick's Day. He actually videos it. There was all these birds flying above us. And I'm saying there was hundreds of them. Hundreds of crows basically flying above us. And whilst I was singing the song, I really felt the presence of God. I felt God was with us. I had this big speaker booming my song all over Antrim Castle Gardens, which is a huge park. And, you know, God's name was being glorified, and we felt the presence of God. So when you see me with my hands raised in the video, I'm worshiping the Lord because I felt his presence.
That is so awesome. And,
so we recorded it then, and over in the next few weeks I'd asked that the Ugandans put some video together. So they're going to be featured on the video as well. And it's been absolutely amazing, Graham, what God has been doing. And this song, I have a feeling that the devil doesn't want this song right. This song is written for the church. It's to encourage the church to come and to worship God. Also, my songs I write as a singer-songwriter. They may not be specifically for the church, but I do write songs for the church as well. And this particular one I have written. I have the chord charts put together. It's registered with CCL. Song Select, so people can go there and download the song. But with my link on my underneath the music video on the YouTube page, I'll give you an audio of me singing the song, which was recorded in the studio, so that you can learn the song for your church. But I really believe God's using this song already, and not only has that happened, but in I think it was the start of February, I got another message from another friend of mine in America who contacted me and told me about this young girl who's only 13, and you call her Jolene, and she sings the American Sign Language. And she has made a video of my song with the sign language for the American Sign Language. And oh, wow. This is happening as I speak. And I honestly don't know where this is going, but I do believe that God has taken this one song and he's sending it across the globe.
There's just so much. Every time you start sharing, there is just so many layers to everything that's going on that God's doing. First of all, I love that when you were out recording the video for this song, and a lot of people, you know, don't realize that when you're recording the video, the song is being played so that you can sing with the song when you're recording the video. I love the fact that the crows showed up and the ravens showed up while you were doing it to worship the Lord.
I mean, Stuart himself, he was working on the cameras because it was just me and him. He had his hands raised high in the air. He was gone, you know. And this was happening, you know, and people were walking by watching what was going on. And And I thought, and I said to Stuart, you know, we prayed before we started videoing. Lord, we just want this video to touch lives all over the world. And, you know, you've given me this song, and it's a very, very simple song to sing, and it's catchy. And, you know, it's like God is just, he's using it, you know, he's using it powerfully. Another thing that's changed too, Glenn, and I didn't mention earlier on, is I've changed my job. I used to be a chef, and now working in a school and special needs children. Again, God has opened that ministry as well. I'm able to sing as well during special times in the year. So I still can use my talent of my guitar and singing for them. So God is doing something. And this all goes back to being obedient to what he wants us to do and submitting to him. And yes, I honestly have to say, since coming off Spotify, and people thought I was absolutely a nutcase, crazy, but I thought to myself, those things are not going to store up my treasures in heaven. Those are earthly things. It's a worldly thing. Don't get me wrong. I know that a lot of people use Spotify, but they were trying to find me as well. And, you know, I thought that God was showing me it's time to come off that platform. This song is not going to be available on Spotify. It's going to be on my YouTube channel and Bandcamp. At the moment, that's where it's going. I have no desire to put it anywhere else, because this is special to me, because this, for me, is a new beginning in my ministry. And God's doing something with this song. I was quite shocked to be asked to sing it in another language, because I've never sang in another language in my life. But and this is all just happening within the past number of days that God's been working. And it's, as I say, it beats any award. It beats anything like that at all. And, you know, and I see the work that the Extreme Tour is doing, being a part of that, being on the leadership team. And, you know, I'm working. They call me the Irish director here, by the way. So I'm directing everything, but I did perform on it as well. But it's just been amazing. And I'm excited about this song because I know God's in it.
Yes. Yes. I do have to say, that is so amazing that you are working with Stuart Neal from Kaja Gugu. I'm not too shy. I've got their record over here on the rack from the 80s. One of my favorite bands in the 80s, as a matter of fact, was Kaja Gugu.
He lives 15 minutes away from me, and he's from England originally, but he's been in Northern Ireland. He's lived here for 20 years. Wow. We have a mini objective in the UK for the Extreme Tour before the tour starts off. And he was one of the guest speakers, and me and him connected there as well. But it was before that I invited him to come to the objective, and our relationship as good friendship has been amazing. I was with him the other day, just for a cup of tea, when he sent me the video, and I was blown away. And I'm just so thankful how God works, you know.
He does. He does. This is real. These are all things that you could not do in and of your own self, by your own flesh. You could not make these connections. You could not push this. It's just God that has to do it, and that he is moving this song by his hand and his spirit to other countries and other languages. It's saying something. And it's saying that he's wanting his people to be in his presence. You're teaching people through this song to be in his presence and leading them into his presence. And that's one of the things that I've noticed, even with the things that we do over here, when God really wants something to be heard, he'll take it. And I'm just doing it. I don't, you know, not thinking that it's going to be much of a big thing, and then all of a sudden it'll just explode and go all over the place. And, you know, it's really kind of amazing how that happens, and just those things you cannot manufacture.
Sorry, Glenn, can I say this? Can I be honest with you? As a songwriter, I don't even think it's the best song I've ever written, but God's choosing to use this song. For me, it's a very simple song, but it's profound because there's nothing better than being in the presence of God. There's nothing better than being in his presence. And I guess that's what this song's trying to convey. And I mean, the chorus says, come and worship the Lord with all your heart. He wants us. This, it's all going back to this relationship with God.
Yes.
Come worship him with your heart. He wants you. He wants me. He's not satisfied with just a little bit of us. He wants us as a living sacrifice to him, because he wants the blessings. And that's where I'm seeing the blessing. And it's because of me making this decision to change my platforms, to change my attitude towards the music business, where I've seen God move in a miraculous way.
And I want people to understand that when we first met, which was longer than 4 years ago, it was more like 5 or 6 years ago when we first met and you first became a part of the family here, there was still an anointing and a blessing upon what you were doing. It's not like you're coming out of, and I want people to understand, it's not like you're coming out of that you were so off the rails with the music and everything like that. There was a blessing and anointing. And what we're seeing here is we're seeing growth. We're seeing spiritual growth. And that is what the Bible talks about, is going from glory to glory to glory. Yeah. And there's another glory that he wants to lead you to. Yeah, you don't know exactly what's around the corner, but it's good because God is good.
He is so good. And as honestly, Glenn, I'm lost for words what God's doing with me right now. But right now I'm also under spiritual attack. And that I believe has something to do with this song. Because it's so powerful. We are singing it in my own church. But the thing is, it is so powerful that, I mean, I still can't comprehend it. Somebody in the other end of the world in Uganda singing my song in their own language. And he constantly sends me messages of them singing it in their own language. And he says, we're taking this song to Uganda. We're taking the choir around the churches in Uganda to bring this song to the people. And it's a song of the Lord. It's something that he's given me. And he wants to bless the church.
I'm not surprised that there's spiritual attack occurring in your life now that this song has been released and God's doing what he's doing. That's just the nature of the world that we live in. It's the nature of the spiritual battle that's going on. And right now I pray in Jesus' name for protection and wisdom as you endure these spiritual attacks. And I really believe that you're able at a place now to handle them a lot in a different manner, because you understand that you're not being attacked by the devil because God is judging you. It's because you've stepped into the arena with the boxing gloves on and you're going toe to toe with the enemy now.
I'm going to it. Yeah. Well, it's been, yeah.
Yeah. God, one of the things, he is amazing. One of the things that I really do enjoy about bringing you on is finding out what God is speaking to the church in Ireland and in the UK, and how Holy Spirit is directing you. And, you know, because we're over here in the United States, what is it that God is, you feel or see or hear? How is God directing the church right now overseas?
Well, to be honest with you, Glenn, I see a real shaking in the church here. God's sifting out the wheat from the chaff. I mean, it talks about that in the book of Matthew. I think Jesus talks about that, if I remember rightly. But there has been a sifting, and I'm starting to see that God is preparing the right people to be in the right place here in Northern Ireland, and in Ireland as well, and in the UK. And I'm sensing that there is a hunger for the things of God again, not just in the church, but people around us. I did something the other day, and I thought I'd be ridiculed and mocked about in my work. I showed my colleagues the music video, and because they wanted to see it, because they knew I was out recording it, and they were totally amazed at what they saw, and they clapped and applauded, but one of them started singing the chorus, and she said to me, I'm going to be singing that all day. And, you know, I thought, thank you, Lord, you know, because there is that hunger and desire, because people have seen what's going on in the world. And I'm not just saying just in the church, but outside of the church, people have seen this woke nonsense, all this crazy stuff going on. And they're asking the questions, what's real, what's truth? And I feel that the church is coming into that place too, where truth is now being spoke about more. I mean, one of the songs that I wrote in 2023 was called Radical. And I'm seeing this starting to awaken in the church here in the UK and Northern Ireland, where I live, and in Ireland. There is an awakening up of the church is starting to wake up to the reality around them and to the need of seeing people one for Christ. One of the things I think that the church don't do so well here in my country is evangelism. They're very good at talking about it, but when it comes to actually doing, it's something that's not a priority as much as it should be. Mm-hmm. And that's why I thank God for the likes of the Extreme Tour coming in. Because there was a few, when they came to my church, there was a few people were a little bit, I don't know about this. But some of the leadership came to the event and they says, the church needs to get on board with this. So they woke up to it. They woke up to the fact. And, there is an awakening. And I just sense God is about to do something. And I can see that globally because, you know, we've seen that little revival, the Asbury revival in the United States. We're aware of what's going on in your country. And I mean, America is not the country that it used to be. But God's hand's still upon it. God's hand's still upon all our nations in the world. Yes. But I believe there's an awakening in the church globally. Yes. And I'm starting to see things build and build and build. I mean, it's something that Stuart and myself were talking about the other day, just the whole sense of being together and worship. I mean, I was talking about, there's a well-known artist, I'm not going to mention his name, who's coming here to Northern Ireland in May. And the price of the tickets were like ludicrous price. And this is a worship artist. He's very well known. But I heard behind the scenes that he's charging £150,000 just to come and put a concert on, a worship concert. And I thought, Lord, this is not what it's about. And people are starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, worship. And we're talking, Stuart and me are talking about maybe putting something together where we're just going to just worship together. I mean, I had a guy come over from Las Vegas who's a follower of mine who plays the ukulele. And I've never met him before in the flesh, but he follows my music. And we were online about a month or two ago here in my home. And God just brings people to your path. And even he was saying there's an awakening in Ireland, there's an awakening here in the UK, and I see that globally. So I believe that's what God's doing in his church. He's wakening them up. And even our teachings and Sunday mornings in church is taking a new direction. And I mean, last year in the church that I'm in now, we had 17 baptisms. We're having another baptism service at the end of this month, on the 31st, where another two people are going to be baptized. And I always feel that if there's baptisms going on in a church, that's a growing church. That's a growing community of people.
Yes. And yes.
So God is moving in a wonderful way. And people are starting to see truth for what it really is. And the church is starting to see what truth is. And I'm finding God is really really, really moving. I'm excited to be living in these days at this time. And God is moving in a global way.
Yes. You know, we're seeing the same things over here in the United States, in the church that you're talking about, that you're seeing in the UK and Ireland. We're starting to see that shifting and that sifting and the shaking and different people being elevated by the Lord, being put in the right place for what he's about to do. And other people that you had thought would be the ones that he would be using moved out of the way. We're seeing a lot of exposure of things so that the real can be seen. And it's just so amazing and exciting to be living during these times when all of this is going on, and that anybody who positions their heart before the Lord to die to themselves, to be a living sacrifice, that's who God is going to use in these last days. And the other thing too about evangelism, I can understand why churches talk a lot about it and there's not a lot of doing of it, because to do it, you actually really, really have to die to yourself. You have to die to being rejected. You have to die to being mocked and ridiculed and losing friends. It's not easy. So I totally understand that. But here's the encouraging part. What you just said, Aaron, people are hungry. How people received your video that you were like, oh, I don't know how they're going to receive this or take this. All of a sudden, God's moving on them. You know, this is a wonderful time, and God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. So for those who are walking and living as that living sacrifice, he's going to use you to speak to and to help bring people to salvation, to see Jesus. And for those that are lost, he's moving on them, and his spirit's being poured out upon them for that hunger. Yeah. To be hungry for the truth. And that's what's going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, I would be involved in street outreach. Now, I haven't been out in a while, but we are going back out again in Easter. And honestly, Glenn, there are so many people who are hurting and they're searching for truth. And, you know, we have that. We have the joy to share the truth with them. And you know, it shouldn't be hard. Evangelism shouldn't be hard for people. I mean, there's an older lady that comes out with me, and when I asked her to come with me, she was terrified. She said, I don't know what to do. So we do it in a manner where I'll be singing a few songs and we'll hand out some tea and coffee and some light refreshments and stuff like that. And we'll get into conversations with people. We'll not preach over a microphone. We will sing some songs, as I say. But she started to find it was quite natural in the way that we were doing things, the conversations that we were having with people. We pray with people on the streets. We pray with people. They know what we're about. We talk about Jesus to them. We do it in a way that's loving and compassionate. And I just see, being on the street, that there are people who's hurting and they need Jesus. There's Christians who's hurting and they need help. A lot of Christians are really struggling. And I'm finding that as well. There's a lot of people who are in poverty. In the physical side of things, we have food banks that Christian people are going to. And other people are going to that need them. And there's just a real need for, and people are hungry for something different, and they know that they need God in their life. And many people have told me that face to face, I need God. And you say to them, well, what's stopping you? And they'll come up with every excuse under the book. Like, but the thing is, at least all we're called to do is be the witness. The Holy Spirit, we plant the seed, the Holy Spirit does the rest.
Yes, he does. So, we don't have to twist anybody's arm.
No.
We don't it
can be a simple conversation.
Yeah.
A simple conversation. Can I share this with you? Me and my wife were actually in McDonald's the other night. And we went out just for a little ice cream. And we got to talk to this woman who works there, loves her job. And she shared with me that she's not a Christian, but she shared with me that she has worked with special needs children, and she has a special needs child herself. But she says, I have regulars come in here on a Saturday and a Sunday, and if they're not there, I'm worried why they're not there, because I know where they're coming from. And she has a compassion for those people. And she said to us as well that there's a church group come in every Sunday and they don't miss. And if they were there, I would wonder why they are not there. But she says there's a man comes in and he needs the food, and if he's not there, we're worried about him. And I thought this principle about, you know, the compassion that woman has is something that maybe the church needs to think a little bit more about as well. Yes. And it really spoke to me. It spoke to me as a Christian that McDonald's, this woman at McDonald's, is maybe doing more than what the church are doing right now.
Yeah.
I'm just being blunt. But, you know, it's, you know, me and my wife, we pray for divine appointments on a daily basis. And we prayed for a divine appointment. We were actually out having a walk, and we were praying together, and we pray walk. And, you know, both me and my wife and my family, our lifestyles have changed. We're seeking the right things in God, and we're seeing God's fruit in all of that. And I believe that was a divine appointment that we met that woman, because that has spoken to me that this woman has compassion for people and is concerned if they don't show up. She's not concerned about whether they're paying money or whatever. It's right. Their lives, because she said to us, it's keeping the young people off the streets. It's keeping them away from drugs. It's keeping them away from the things that will harm them. This is a safe place. And that got me to thinking, this is what the church needs to be, a safe place. And yes. My prayer is that the church, as they are awakening, that we start becoming a safe place, a haven for people.
Yes, yes. To find that at a McDonald's is just beyond human comprehension. And no, it is a wake-up call.
So many rainers going on right now.
Yeah, we are seeing that in so many unusual places where we're starting to see the compassion. I would tend to say that you're starting to see the stirrings of the Spirit move upon this lady at McDonald's, because that is not natural human. I mean, humans just in and of themselves, we are self-centered and self-focused. And for somebody to have that level of compassion, that is at a spiritual level. So that is so exciting to hear that. And speaking of that, the outreach, I want to go back to that before we close out tonight. The Extreme Tour. We have the Extreme Tour here in the US and we have the Extreme Tour in the UK. And I know I have a lot of artists that watch and listen to this podcast and live stream. If there is an artist who has a stirring on the inside to become a part of the outreach in the UK and Ireland, first of all, is that possible? And second of all, how would they be able to go about doing that?
Well, as you know, nobody in the Extreme Tour gets paid. Nobody. It is a charity. It just become charity status actually from December. But usually what happens is that someone like ourselves will send a email through, and they'll go through a form process. We just vet them basically to make sure that they are who they are. And we specifically make that's the priority of how you get involved in the Extreme Tour and any of the tours. So we have basically got the same type of form here in the UK. It's adapted a little bit differently. We are probably a bit more freer here in the UK because we'll invite more local artists. But as regards to the US, artists wanting to come, well, personally, there's usually something set up already. And I know that last year we didn't bring a band. Jerry Fee was the band, and John Gold and a few others from America that we did bring over. So usually that is up to them who will come. That's out of my hands. But we are also told to try and seek out artists as well. So I'm sure If I'm allowed to, I'm sure I'd be allowed to bring the band over or whatever, but they would have to fund themselves coming. We'll give them a floor to sleep on. You're not coming to sleep in a hotel. You're not sleeping in great accommodation, because that's what the Extreme Tour isn't about. It's not about hotels. It's not about the flash. But people can get involved. And I can send out an email to you if you give me your email address. I can let you see the form. You can fill it in. We usually have people to go to the objective. We have a UK objective here before going on the tour, because people need to understand what the Extreme Tour is, how it operates, because it is pretty unique, and what the vision is for the objective and what the vision is for you as an artist. We basically let you know that there's no headliners. There is nobody who's top of the stage. It's not about the limelight. It's all about showing the love of God demonstrated through our art, and whether that be music or the arts, we use all those sort of things to communicate the love of God and the gospel. You've been at an Extreme Tour event. You've seen how it works. So what you've seen in America basically is something similar to what happens here in the UK. So an artist will get up and they'll sing well-known songs, not specifically Christian. And then we'll sort of talk about, we'll bring another artist in and we'll talk about hope, that there is a hope. And then we'll have a bit of fun. We'll have some challenges and a bit of fun. And some people could win money. Nobody ever seems to win money, because they never seem to beat the competition anyway, because it's so complicated. we have a thing called the Suki drink, which is a really, really sweet orangey drink. And you have to try and drink four liters of this stuff. It would make you sick, to be honest with you. But nobody seems to be able to do it. But it's all a bit of fun. And then we bring in the whole idea of who hope is. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
And then we bring Jesus into the whole conversation. We start to sing the songs about Jesus. And then we give an invitation if you want to come to Jesus. And, you know, that's what I love about the Extreme Tour, because it's real. And knowing people in the Extreme Tour, working with the likes of Jerry, and I love Jerry. That was the first time I'd met Jerry last year. And something between him and me just clicked, and his whole family was with him here. They were in our home. We spent time together, food. We had food together, and we prayed together. And we talked about a lot of things at a barbecue here in my home. We were out in the back garden for hours and hours and hours, just talking about wonderful things in the world, and about music, about the arts. And Jerry, I mean, most of the people that I talk to in the Extreme Tour are the same idea, that this is what Christian music's all about. This is what we're all called to do. So if an artist does want to get in touch, they can get in touch with me, and I can certainly put them in touch with the people that need to speak to them. Now, here's something that you don't know, Glenn, because if it all goes according to plan, I may be coming to America in July.
Really?
The first 2 weeks in July. Yep. If this happens, I'm just waiting to see what God wants to do. I have a contact that will be able to get me there for the right price. Works with the Extreme Tour, can help me in getting flights and stuff. And I know that Jerry would be delighted to have me on the tour. So it'll be the first 2 weeks in July, and I do believe it's in Ohio and Pennsylvania. This is just coming by again from the start of this year. Because here's another thing you don't know. So John Gold and Ted Broon, who would be the people looking after Ireland here, and myself and the people of the UK, we come over here every year. We go up to the north coast to the Giant's Causeway. People would know where the Giant's Causeway is. It's a world famous place. We go very close to there, and we spend the weekend together, and we discuss the Extreme Tour for the year. It's like a retreat where we just come together, we bang heads together basically, and we discuss what God wants to do. And that happens every year before the Extreme Tour kicks off. And it was during that time that my friend came over as well, and we were just chatting about it, and I says, you know, I'd love to come to America. And he says, I'll help you get there. So I'm looking at possibly the first 2 weeks of July to come to the United States and work with the Extreme Tour.
That is so exciting that you'd be coming here to the United States. Would this be your first time in the U.S.?
No, I was there in 1998. I have relatives live in America. I have a relative lives in South Carolina. I did have a relative that lived in Pennsylvania, but they have now passed on. But yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, a lot of the people that follow my music are more American than they are in the UK.
What part of South Carolina does your relative live in? Do you know the city?
No.
We've got a relative and a friend that live in South Carolina because that's where we're based out of. So,
well, I'm not too sure. Is it Charlotte?
Charlotte, North Carolina. North Carolina?
Is it North Carolina? I don't know.
That's North.
North or South? Yeah.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close to where we are, though. Yeah. Aaron, before we close, is there anything else that you'd like to share this evening that God's pressing upon your heart for our audience?
Well, yeah, I would just like to thank you, Glenn, for the work that you're doing with this. I have loved being a part of this family. And I love how God's using this platform. I'm blessed because even here, I watch the videos. I watch them quite regularly. And I watched that whole thing about St. Patrick's Day the other day, about the book that girl had written. And I thought, this is powerful. And I just want to encourage you because I've seen God work in your life as well. And you're a great encouragement to me. And you keep doing what God's called you to do because I'm seeing God blessing you in a wonderful way. And I know you take that, you have that concert as well. And I mean, you take risks for God. And I love that about you. I love that you're prepared to talk about the things that the church don't talk about because we need to talk about those things. Yes. And so it has encouraged me, Glenn. So you're an encouragement to me, even though we're thousands of miles apart, but we're all part of that one family. And I've been part of this Raven's Heart Lift Us Cry for a number of years. And I love you, my brother. You're fantastic. And I just want to share this with everyone else. Please, if I can say one thing today, is give your life over to God totally and watch what God will do. I'm an example of one person that whenever you obey what God wants you to do, he will bless your ministry and everything that you do. And everything that you put your hand to, God will bless you. If you're not doing it, you're missing out God's blessing.
Yeah.
When I think about that, and I say to myself, do I really want to miss out what God wants to bless me with? And that's what I would leave you as you're watching me here today. Give yourself over to him. Totally. If you're a musician like myself, a singer-songwriter, give your arts, your music to him and let him use it. And if it be his will that a song travels the world, so be it. But if it doesn't be his will, so be it. But listen and understand this. If you can reach one person with your music, with your art, then that should be your goal, because that's my goal. But if God chooses to use it further, praise God for it. But don't look for the platform. Don't look for the things of this world. Don't be forced in by the attractions of this world, but let your mind be renewed. Let your sight see in the spiritual realm where God wants you to be. And I know you're right, Glenn, there's a lot of artists watch this podcast. And I know that. And I know some of them have connected with them on my radio show that I continue to do for near 6 years now. I've also a worship show that I run as well, which is going about 3 years. And, you know, I'm a busy guy, but I just wanted to say that. Give your music, give your arts to God, and watch God do some amazing things with it.
Amen. Amen. That is a powerful word from our brother Aaron Vaughn Graham. Aaron V. Graham from Northern Ireland.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
It has been. Everybody, the links to everything that we were talking about this evening, they are below. The link for the video premiere coming this Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, is below. And we've got the other links as well to Aaron's information. And I'm also going to put the links, too, that you have for people to get the copies of the they can use in his presence as a part of.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, everybody, until next week, peace out and rock on.
LithosCry.com.